Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Many people regard The Last Hurrah as the best novel ever written about American politics and Irish Americans. Edwin O'Connor wrote it, published it in 1956. It tells the story of Mayor Frank Skeffington, the last of a breed of ethnic Irish big city bosses. Skeffington is a great but flawed man, probably corrupt, but only in the service to his constituents, not corrupt in a way to make himself rich. The Last Hurrah tells the story of his final run for mayor of an unnamed American city that looks and sounds a lot like Boston, where Ed O'Connor lived before his untimely death at the age of 49. Now the University of Chicago Press is reissuing the novel with a wonderful new introduction by Jack Beatty, news analyst for WBUR. Jack is author of The Rascal King, a biography of former Boston Mayor James Michael Curley, who has a lot in common with the fictional Frank Skeffington. And Jack joins us now from Hanover, New Hampshire. Jack, thanks so much for coming on Radio Boston to talk about this great
book. My pleasure.
Book.
My pleasure, Anthony.
I love what you wrote at the very start of your introduction. You said, "You who are reading this novel for the first time, how I envy you." Tell us why. And I agree with you, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know, I go on to say it has delights in store. There is the send-up of the old-time big city Irish-American politics, the sustained literary pleasure, the steady laughter, the final tears. It's all here. And if you like an old-fashioned novel where characters sort of stand out in their three dimensions and things move at a stately pace, and in which there's laughter and tears and a social background of some significance, a moment of history caught, this is a novel for you.
It really is. It's such a great book about American politics and the history and politics of Boston, even though Boston is never named. Will you describe a little bit the world that Ed O'Connor depicts in The Last Hurrah?
Well, he depicts a sort of a world around this Mayor Skeffington, of his hangers-on, of his apparat, of his machine, people with, you know, names like Ditto and, you know, Bugsy, and it's all a sort of ethnic stew. There's an Irishman, there's a Jewish fellow, there's somebody else. It's just this big picture of a city, a political machine, and they're used to electing and re-electing Skeffington, whom they call governor because he had once been governor of the state, as had his real-life model, James Michael Curley. And they gear up for a final campaign against what turns out to be a final campaign against this non-entity whose name no one who even looks at the book can remember. But this slab of inconsequence, a representative of what O'Connor calls a generation of ciphers, these sort of assimilated Irishmen who's, you know, up and coming. And,
this is Kevin McCluskey.
Yeah, right? Thank you. I've forgotten his name. There you go. And he's just a nullity as against this colorful, philosophical, witty, above all witty Skeffington. How witty? Well, this kind of witty. He goes to Nocco Minahan's wake. It's a set piece that will live in ethnic writing forever, really, a 40-page set piece. And he runs into a friend of the widow, Minahan. "How's Gert taking it?" Says Skeffington. "Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. She cries a little," says the woman. In explanation, she added, "She remembers all the nice things he done." "She has a remarkable memory," Skeffington said dryly.
I'm really glad you read that because I think what Ed O'Connor, is there anyone, I can't think of anyone who does dialogue better and kind of relate the sort of energy and humor of this world and this era and this ethnic group. I think he's just brilliant at it.
He had a terrific ear for that, and he had a unfortunate ear for the windy old man. This thing is full of them. Skeffington, not so much, but his pals. Mm. And again, don't even bring up the names, because Festus Garvey is one of them. They just go on for pages, and you want to say, Ed, you've got a good thing going here. Don't let this old guy talk so much. But he does, and they do.
Yeah. Now, it's accepted wisdom that Ed O'Connor based his protagonist on the real mayor of Boston, former mayor and former governor, James Michael Curley, who you've written a lot about, even though O'Connor never explicitly acknowledged that. So tell us what happened when the Boston Globe asked James Michael Curley to review The Last Hurrah.
Well, he returned it to the Globe with a note saying that he'd put the whole matter in with his lawyers. He was going to sue O'Connor. And why was he going to sue O'Connor? Well, partly because he was furious that O'Connor called my mother, as he referred to the mother of Skeffington in the novel, a thief. Well, what had she done? Well, she stole a banana for her children from the Yankee prunes she worked for as a maid.
Yeah.
And of course, Sarah Curley, a saint, wouldn't steal anything, a morsel, even if she was starving. And so Curley said, I'm going to sue. And finally, his children said to him, wait a minute, Dad. Of course, they never would call him Dad, Father. Wait a minute, Father. People all over the country are reading this, and they're falling in love with this guy, Skeffington. There's talk of a movie. There's talk of Spencer Tracy playing him / you. And the old man got an idea. He would use Skeffington to whitewash Curley. He would sort of ride on the slipstream of Skeffington, and he'd become Skeffington, and the people that loved Skeffington would love him.
That's funny. And he really did that, right? I mean, he really sort of adapted. He took it over and let Ed O'Connor's book sort of become his story, right?
Yes, and when he and there's a story of Ed O'Connor seeing him outside the Parker House and going up and introducing himself, and Curley looked at him and he said, "Tell me again about the part where I die."
That's amazing. That's
so.
Amazing.
So, yeah, literature saved, came along and saved life, and when and saved a life, a reputation. And when Curley died 3 years later, there wasn't a dry eye in the city of Boston. And part of it was that his wrongdoing, his larcenies, they were long forgotten, and he was waving. He was sort of riding on a wave of sentimentality for Skeffington.
Hmm. So I want to ask you about the parallels between the fictional Mayor Frank Skeffington and James Michael Curley. I mean, they're plain to see, but isn't the fictional Skeffington a little more noble, less corrupt than the real Curley, right?
Oh, my gosh. He certainly is. And it was left to somebody who knew about that to make that point, reviewing the novel in the New Republic, Tom Elliott, the grandson of the famous Thomas Elliott, president of Harvard. Tom Elliott, who had been a young New Dealer, had a congressional seat, but lost it to James Michael Curley in a nasty campaign in which he said something like, "I have more Americanism in my ass than that young man has in his old pink body." In other words, he was a New Dealer was equivalent to a communist, apparently. And at another point, Curley campaigning in Charlestown, "Do you realize that my opponent is an Episcopalian?" Looking at the Irish, "Do you know what that is? It's someone who believes our Lord is a little man with whiskers who runs around in a nightcap or something like that." You know, he just pulled this stuff out of the air. And so a very dirty campaign. And Elliot wrote in the review, "This guy, Skeffington, is an innocent compared to the kind of person who'd become a big city boss." Mm.
Well, let me ask you about this big theme, and it's in the title, and it's, of course, in the story. This is a spoiler alert for people who haven't read it. Skeffington loses his final election. That's one of the reasons this book is called The Last Hurrah. But it's also a book about the end of the big city bosses like Skeffington, like James Michael Curley. Why did they disappear after the war? The book gets into that. I'd love you to explain it a bit.
It does, and in a dialogue where a sort of a smart guy tells uh, tells the nephew of Skeffington's nephew what really did it for the old man. Because you know who destroyed him? Who? Roosevelt. Huh? I don't get it, the kid said. He destroyed the old-time boss. He destroyed him by taking away his source of power. He made the kind of politician your uncle was an anachronism sport. All over the country, the bosses have been dying for the last 20 years, thanks to Roosevelt. What Roosevelt did was to take the handouts out of the local hands, a few little things like Social Security, unemployment insurance, and the like. That's what shifted the gears. Sport, no need now to depend on the boss for everything. The federal government was getting into the act.
So that's those are Ed O'Connor's words in the last hurrah. You wrote a real biography of James Michael Curley. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just standard big city history that whether in Chicago or Pittsburgh, they had a famous boss or and in New York, of course, they had Tammany Hall machines. The centralization of, I mean, you know, you giving the widow the turkey. Well, that didn't. If she could get a welfare check, she could buy her own turkey, and and she got the welfare check thanks to AFDC, which was of course a Depression era program repealed. We have to note by Bill Clinton, who ended welfare as we know it and caused a lot of pain for widows and orphans all over the country, I'm sure.
You know, Jack, when I before I came back to Boston, where I originally grew up, but then I went off to college, worked elsewhere, and before I came back to Boston to work in public radio, someone said to me, you've got to read The Last Hurrah if you're going back to Boston.
Yeah.
It was sort of recommended as the indispensable book to understand politics in Boston. And I read it and agree with you. I just adored the book quite apart from what it was teaching me about Boston. But would you still recommend it as such, a sort of indispensable reading to understand a big part of this city's past and history?
A past.
Yes.
Not continuous.
It's not there
the
anymore. Yeah, right.
No. Although, you know, we have a mayor named Walsh from Dorchester, as I am.
Irish haven't really gone away, have they?
Hey, it's still there in force. But, you know, it's now a majority-minority city.
Mm-hmm.
And its whole the whole Curley years were about the, you know, the Yankee-Catholic conflict, which he... You know, he kept reviving these pale effigies of Yankees of the past and swatting them, you know, as if to say you're still dealing with Protestant prejudice. Well, of course, that was long since past, really, but he used it to drive a sense of we have tribal solidarity among Catholic voters to prevent the dreadful Protestants from coming back. I mean, the Protestants, of course, had packed up and gone to the North Shore long since.
Final question. I just want to ask you a little bit about Ed O'Connor, the writer. First of all, we should say, in honor of our neighbors to the south, that he's actually from Woonsocket, Rhode Island.
He
right?
is indeed, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Although he made a home in Boston and on the Cape, he won the Pulitzer in 1962 for another novel, The Edge of Sadness.
Yes.
Died in 68 at the age of 49. What a loss. I mean, have you thought of the many books that this world should have had if not for his untimely death?
It's true. And, you know, he was a loved figure. I worked at the Atlantic Monthly and came there in the early 80s. And people there remembered him. And they spoke of him with a warmth and a humor and even a damp eyes that you just realized he was an exceptional guy. They really just loved him because he would come by. And the other thing was, when he struck it rich, he shared it. You know, they'd go out to lunch at the Ritz. He'd drive people around in his big car. They could come to his manse on Marlborough Street. Everybody shared in the fun. And in fact, I love it that they had to hire a bus to take people from the Atlantic Monthly to the Cathedral in the South End, and I just bet that that bus stopped at the Ritz-Carlton to pick up his two favorite waiters. That was just part of Ed's life.
What a great story. All right. Jack Beatty is news analyst for WBUR is on point. He's written A New Introduction to the Last Hurrah by Edwin O'Connor, which has just been re-released by the University of Chicago Press. Jack Beatty, thank you so much for bringing this book alive and talking about it. We appreciate
great.
It.
A great pleasure, Anthony. Thank you.
All right, listeners, stay with us. Coming up, how comedian Louis C.K. is shaking up TV with his new show, Horace and Pete. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.